thing for James 1, 1 through 5. We started last week a series on James. First time in a long, long time, many years. I've actually worked through a book. Who knows how long this is going to be. I'm sure it's going to be interrupted. But let me read this, and then I'm going to give you some background, some review from last week, because I want to make sure we get some key concepts. James is a very, very practical book, but I want to also put a spiritual, eternal perspective on it behind the scenes. Because when you read this, it can be sort of depressing in a way. But this is from God's Word Translation. Let me look at my little thing instead of looking over my shoulder here. James 1, from James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God's faithful people who have been scattered. So this is to Christians now. Greetings when you are tested. We talked a little bit about it last week. We'll continue for the weeks ahead. Turn to God, my brothers and sisters. Be very happy when you are tested in different ways. This is not often taught in churches, especially charismatic, Pentecostal, third-day type churches, streams that we're in, testing. It's all about the blessings, and there are many blessings, and we talk about them a lot. But there's also testings. Testings is not where he's tempting you to sin. Testings is where he's training you to inherit the promises. How many of you have ever gotten a prophetic word, and then your life got rough after that? See, you got the prophetic word that talks about the promises. Prophetic promises. But there's another P word in the middle. How many of you know what that P word is? It's the process to get you to the promises. When he prophesies over you and he speaks to you and you read his word and you get promises out of it, it varies. The most middle of the road statistic is there's about 7,000 promises in the Bible. It depends on how you count them, but there's a lot of promises. He's going to give those promises to you, but some of those, you have to go through a process to be able to hold the promises. Let me give you an example. This past week, oh my gosh, I had to deal with covetousness and envy. Somebody won the big Powerball thing. Now, I don't buy lottery tickets, but they won the big Powerball thing up in the middle. I think it was in the middle of the country somewhere. Did y'all see that? $1.3 billion. And I was going, I should have bought a ticket. You know, it's not real biblical, but I would have asked for forgiveness and tithed on it after I got that $1.3 billion. I'm just being honest with you. But either way, you've seen the studies that almost everybody that comes into lottery tickets like that, it varies depending on how much money you get. 5 to 10 years later, they're more broke than before. Their entire family hates them and their friends because you didn't give them and pay off their mortgages for 100 people around you that you never even knew existed. They come out of the woodworks. Why? I'm not saying it's a promise, but you get my idea. We often think that's the promise, but they did not have the process. They'd not been tested. Tested is like in school. We've talked about school, going to Alberta, Georgia Tech, different things. You get tested to see if you can actually be what you're promised. The tests aren't like he's making you sick, he's persecuting you. He is testing you to inherit the greatness of what he is trying to take you through. And many things will go through life and go, oh my gosh, this is so hard. The devil's after me. And I'll talk to him and go, I don't think that's the devil. If it's sickness, it's the devil. If it's things like that. But many times we're going through hard stuff because he's teaching us skills to hold on to the $1.3 billion or the equivalent thereof. You get my point? And so when you're tested, turn to God, my brothers and sisters. Be very happy when you're tested in different ways. That means there's going to be a bunch of them. You know that such testing of your faith produces endurance in this version, patience in the King James Version. Endurance is a better translation. Endure until your testing is over with. You do go through seasons. When I was in high school and college, because I didn't go to summer school, I got off in the summers. There was no tests. Maybe spiritual test, but no test. And then it starts back up in the fall again. Endure until your testing is over with. Then you will be mature and complete, and you won't need anything. I'm telling you, we often sing songs, sweet by and by, wait till we die. It's all going to be great in heaven. And that is true, but we've banned those songs here. Because why? Let's say you get saved at 20 and you're waiting for the sweet by and by till you die and you don't die till you're 80. You just wasted 60 years. Maybe you didn't get into drugs and alcohol and divorces and everything else, but you're going to heaven with nothing to show for it. He is making you a part of Team Jesus. He is making you a part of life to spread His kingdom. When He came here 2,000 years ago, He said this, the kingdom of God is starting now. Daniel's vision had a vision of a big statue. I'm not going to go into the whole details. You can go Google it. There was five parts to the statue. And stones came and killed the head of gold and the chest of silver and then the loins and then the calves. And the last up was the Roman Empire made of clay. And when you go back and look at it, there were five empires from when Daniel prophesied that till the Roman Empire. Jesus Christ came during the Roman Empire. And He said a rock came. He is called the rock. Remember He said to Peter, upon this rock. He wasn't talking about Peter, even though his name meant the rock. Meant what he was seeing and that he was Jesus. There's going to be a kingdom of kingdoms. And all the great empires are going to pass away. And the last one was the Roman Empire. And you can go back. You got the Assyrians and the Medes and the Babylonians. It was an amazing historical perspective in such a short period. And He said that kingdom started then and it's been going for 2,000 years and it's spreading. At the end of the first century, there was one Christian for every 368 people on the earth. Today, there's one per people saying they're Christians. I'm not, you know, the levels of commitment vary, is one out of three on the earth. I'm telling you, the devil is screaming, he's hollering, he's giving out all these lies, especially in the West. But there are upwards of 350 to 400,000 people getting saved every day around the world. Let me tell you, America is important, the West is important, but we have got to get out of a myopic vision and look at the whole entire world. His kingdom is spreading, and the devil is fighting to hold on to the West with some of these stupid lies that are just irrational. You know why we got so many irrational thoughts today that's propagating across the country? We got irrational thoughts because we're following false gods. You think of Elijah. Elijah had a great victory on Mount Carmel. If you don't know this story, go back and read it. Jezebel was the queen. Ahab was the king. And they had the prophet of Baal, which was huge on the in Israelites at the time. They did child sacrifices. Can you imagine being so deceived? You take your child that is born and throw them in a fire and call it good and call it religion? Anyway, that Jezebel was all over the land, which was characterized by sexual sin. I'm about to go meddling. This isn't even in my notes, but I'm just, for some reason, we're going to go this direction. Characterized by sexual sins, child sacrifice, and it just was a darkness over the land. He had saved Elijah, a prophet, and he said, come up here to Mount Carmel. How many of you have not heard this? Well, how many of you have heard this story? He said, come up to Mount Carmel, and we're going to see who is God, Baal or Jesus, or Yahweh at that time. Who was it? This is a great joke. Was it you, Alexis, that said, you know, Burger King goes, have it your way? And those are four words. We've got four windows. Somebody said, we ought to put in there, have it Yahweh. And I thought that was cute in the front. I don't remember who that was. Was that you, Alexis? It was somebody. I thought, that's pretty good. And anyway, he calls them up there. Had 450 prophets of Baal. The Israelites were like a lot of Christians today. Well, we'll just go wherever the wind blows and whoever is the strongest. They were just sitting back to see who won. That's where a lot of Christianity is today. And if you sense an intensity in me, it's because I'm telling you, Jesus Christ's kingdom is growing. But you're not hearing about it. We're under this irrationality in our country, like sacrificing kids. I'm telling you, at the federal level, getting rid of the abortion laws is a good thing. It is now going to the state levels, but that's our modern version of sacrificing sin. The sexuality is absolutely off the scale in this country. It's absolutely insane. Everything is sexualized. And let me tell you, sex is good, but it ain't everything. It will not give you fulfillment. It will not give you purpose. It has its purpose, but it's just a part of our lives. But he's trying to focus onto a God, a modern-day Baal version. Are y'all hanging with me? Anyway, Elijah's up there, and they did a sacrifice, and they said, he said, let fire come out of heaven to show who's the real God. All day long, these Baal people are screaming and hollering, trying to get their God to move. And he had moved in the temple. They'd seen him move. But he wasn't moving this day. Because Baal might have been a god, but he wasn't the God of gods. He was a little g. They're cutting themselves. Why do you think there's so much cuttings going on? Because the West refuses to say there's a God with a capital G of gods. You will become like the God you follow. And there's only one God who is a God of love, grace. He also has justice and holiness. And His name is Yahweh, Jesus Christ. He goes by a lot of names. And so they're up there. You know the story, but I love telling it. He's making fun of them. You go back and read it. It says, I think he's gone to the bathroom. So you can be bold and confident like Johnny is. You may not have all of the answers. You don't make fun of people, but you can be bold. And I'm here to tell you, you can be bold today. Listen, you can say, listen, we're redefining marriage. We're redefining all kinds of things, identity, gender, la, 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 sexual relationships, purpose. You can redefine all of that. But in the end, you're going to find happiness in how you were defined in eternity. When that sperm and egg came together and made physical DNA, you were sent, as we read Psalms 139, it's talking about He skillfully wove you in your mother's womb. Motherhood is a good thing. We're trying to redefine that. Please don't redefine that. You redefine it too much, there's not going to be a next generation. We need mothers, or we're all going to die off. Is there anybody here that came into the world outside of a mother? When a woman, you see it on the news all the time, when a woman won't define what a woman is, I'm going, God help her. Because she won't find her purpose and destiny. God created men and women, and He created them good. Now, our brains may be all messed up, but we can change that. None of you in here are a mistake. If you're a woman, God wanted to make you a woman and calls you good. If you're a man, He wanted to make you a man and He calls it good. And then a proper household defines, this is what a man looks like, this is what a woman looks like, this is what a marriage looks like. We're very far from that, but we're going to change it. Amen? There's hope in this room and our little area to say this is the only thing that works. The secular papers, white papers, psychologists, there is no society, you can go Google this, I'm not going to spend time, there is no society that has redefined marriage that did not go into anarchy within 10 years. It is against your DNA. It just can't happen. But I'm telling you, here in this room, as we keep our eyes on Jesus and declare His way, Yahweh's, is the way to go. It may be rough. People may call you out of date. People may call you stupid. But I'm telling you, 20 years from now, you're going to have, I mean, we won't be perfect, but you're going to have the life that reflects following after God's heart. And you may be tested from your peers, from your family members. Just hold tight. Because as Psalm says, the Word of God lasts forever. Nothing will be done away with. And you can rest on that. Right now it's a battle, especially those that are going to college. It's absolutely insane. These things that are being said are irrational. Why? Because when you follow a God that's not God, He always causes confusion and irrationality because His way is not based off of light. It is not based off God the Father. I remember many years ago when I was at Georgia Tech, and this was many years ago, there was this a guy named Henry Morse. Those of you that are homeschooled might have heard of him. If I remember correctly, he has 6 PhDs in science. He wrote most of the homeschooling material on biology and chemistry and those kind of things. Extremely smart guy. One of the Christian ministries had him come to campus. Are y'all enjoying this? I'm not even looking at my notes, but I think it's good. And so it was on creation versus evolution. Now it's pretty much just accepted, although it's flipping around. 40 years ago, it was a bit much more of a battle. And so he comes in, the ballroom is packed. I think it was Campus Crusade for Christ was having them. 800 people, people outside couldn't get in. And the whole front part of it was all these Georgia Tech College professors that were just going to roast Henry Morse. So before he gets up, I won't go into the whole thing, but I want to tie it back to you. Before he gets up, he's speaking to this whole crowd. And he says, before I start, I want to make this statement. Now, this is one of the leading technological schools in the nation. This isn't like a high school in the rural areas. He says, if there's anybody here that has one scientific proof, those are the key words, for evolution, stand up now and make your case. You could hear a pin drop. Before then, they were ready to kill him. You could just feel it going, I hope he has bodyguards. He waited like 30 seconds. He says, nobody's going to stand up because they knew there was no scientific proof. He said, now that we've established evolution as a theory and creation by the same definition as a theory, we're now going to just show the facts of creation because you already know, or the things that indicate creation. You already know what the ones for evolution are because you're taught every day. Then you can decide which one best supports the theory of creation or evolution. And this is a thing, it's a lie. Evolution steals who you are. And I'm here to tell you today, you are eternal. God knew you. You go back and read Psalms 139:15. I'm not going to read it again. We did it last week. But you are eternal in this room. Me and Susan watched a documentary on Netflix last night. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, called the Saqqara Tomb. It was a discovery 3 years ago of some of the best tombs in Egypt. And if you're familiar with it, this one really talked about it, their whole life was consumed with the afterlife. They'd put things in their tombs that they would get it in the afterlife. They would live in such a way so that they could stand before 42 judges and be welcomed to the River of Reeds. I'm not an Egyptologist. Even then, 5,000 years ago, there's something in you. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, it is in the heart, eternity is in the heart of men. We can hide behind science, and I'm a big science guy. I'm a big materialistic guy because he wants us to understand the world. He wants us to rule our world all the way back to Genesis 1:27. He wants technological innovations, as I talked about last week. You know, all the different things that we do. I mean, I don't want to give up my device. I'm not going back to the camping in the wilderness with no cell signals. My sons know that, man. Max, we ain't doing that. And Max may, but I'm not. And so, you came from eternity and you're going to eternity. Even back then, it was not the right afterlife, but they were going, there's more to life than this. Western civilization is at the height of technological innovation, but it's at the depth of morality. And when you marry low morality with high technology, it does not end well. People go all the time, I'm not going to be a Christian. Look how many people were killed 500 years ago in the Crusaders movement. Now, they were killed. And they did some stupid things. But you realize in the 20th century, 22 years ago, more people died at secular, humanistic, atheist philosophy, over 100 million. It dwarfs whatever went wrong with the Crusade movement. Mao Zedong, Hitler, Stalin, in the name of humanism, which is the worship of man, killed over 100 million people. And so I'm just telling you, you're on the right side of civilization. And I'm telling, and I, wow, let me hurry up. So you came from eternity. Now what's going on right now? You came from eternity. You're going to end up in eternity. This is a part of eternity where you have this body. You're going to have another body on the other side. But what you do here is crucial. Hebrews 12:1 says this. Therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. He's talking to Hebrews now. Jews now. That's who the Hebrews were. Let's rid ourselves of every obstacle. There's the testing. And the sin which so easily entangles us. And let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. You're in a race now, whether you realize it or not. It's a race to spread God's principles that He first births in you to people around you. Maybe in business, maybe family, maybe government, maybe ministry, like what He's doing. We all got our different assignments. There's seven pictures on the wall as you go out. An arbitrary construct of seven spheres of society that came from Bill Bright of Campus Crusade for Christ and Youth with a Mission. Just walk down through there and see which one your heart's drawn to. And that's the one that you spread His principles after you first encounter Him. And what you're doing in that moment, in this week, it is helping His kingdom and eternity, what we call eternity. It's not really eternity. It's a different dimension. A different place. It's outside of time. There's a cloud of witnesses that are being affected by it and seeing you, and they're cheering you on. Some of these witnesses, it doesn't really say who these witnesses are. I've studied it in the Hebrew. Not that I'm a Hebrew scholar. I just read what other Hebrew scholars say. It's most likely people that have gone on before us. It's most likely some of the different kinds of creatures there are in heaven. See, there's more than just angels and people in heaven. Think about God. He is so creative. How many different creations are there here on this earth? Different plants. You think He's not going to be that much variety in heaven? It's going to be insane. We're going to go up there, and these guys aren't going to be like talking little bunnies. They're going to be creatures with full intelligence. That's cool. And a lot of them are watching you. See, this is how life is. Let me end with this discussion. How many of you know, where you know, a relay race in track and field? That first guy, he takes off. I don't know. He's running around the track once. I'm not a track and field guy. I don't know how many meters that is around the track. It doesn't matter. But he takes around, runs around that track once. And then if he comes in first, he hands off a baton, a little stick, to somebody that's second. Has he won the race even though he came in first? Not yet. That's what the cloud of witnesses are doing. Then the second guy goes and he runs around. Say he comes in second and he hands off the baton. Have they lost the race yet? He gave them the best. And I think, was it three or four times you do that in a relay race? Is there any track and field people in here? Four times, all right. I lettered in basketball and soccer. We did not do track. I was too slow. They had it, I just wasn't in it. It's not till the last race that happens next decade after you die, or the next century after you die, whenever Jesus Christ comes back and seals the kingdom. But when you get up there, you're going to be looking back and looking at that relay race. And I guarantee you, you're going to be glad you ran your race. You're going to be glad you did Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Because you'll get some picture here on earth, but then you'll get the full picture. Several years ago, it was actually about a decade ago, the Lord had given me some visions for a relationship church where it was supposed to go. I was 50 at the time. And so that was, you can do the math. And I was like, Lord, at the rate we're going, this is never going to happen before I die. And I'm telling you, just like that, He goes, why do you think you're the one that's going to do all of this? There's going to be generations behind you that needed your part of the relay race. Man, that'll make you humble. You know why so many people, this is Craig's theory, he can tell me yes or no another time. You know why so many people get religion in prison or in the hospital? It's not that they couldn't have gotten it before. They finally slowed down and they were humbled. And then they could listen. I'm telling you that it's closed with this. You can slow down now. I'm not talking about a physical slowing down. Slowing down in here. And humble yourself now. The Bible says humble yourself now. And hear. You don't have to wait till you're on your deathbed. Or wait till you're in your hospital. Or wait till you're in prison. I used to fly a lot before COVID. Maybe we'll pick it up again. I don't know, going overseas. Most of the strategic direction I've gotten for this place is on the airplane. Two reasons. One, I've left this area, so I'm not under the territorial strongholds in here that doesn't want me. But two, probably even more important, what can you do on an airplane? I slow down, you get bored, and he starts speaking to you. Elijah on Mount Carmel. The fire came down, burned up his sacrifice. The other guys didn't. He was making fun of them. He's going to the bathroom. They're on vacation. Had a great victory. When the Israelites saw who was winning, they helped Elijah kill 450 prophets of Baal. There's this county, whatever county you're in, Whitfield, Murray, Gordon. Maybe you're traveling from the great state of New Jersey over here. There are people that will move when they see your boldness to follow God. Maybe you're not a witnesser, but you're going to live in your marriage. You're going to follow His principles at work, and it will give boldness to others to finally come. You're part of that leading edge of soldiers, leading edge of recon people, and it's just going to be exciting. Why don't you stand? I know we still haven't gotten very far on this, but I'm having a good time. How about you? You are being tested to carry the kingdom better wherever you go. It says in Hebrews that He disciplines His sons and daughters. Now, sickness is not of Him. Now, we've got to learn to discern what's Him and what's not. But there's a lot of stuff that we just say, okay, Father, I submit to Your hand. I submit to Your will, and You will never regret it. I'm here to tell you. If you fight Him, what's going to happen is you're going to fight Him. I'm mad at Him. He's treating me too hard. And you do that for 5 years, guess what? When you come back 5 years later because you didn't want to do what He wanted to do, guess what? Where He's going to pick back up. He didn't forget. He never forgets. He goes, all right, here we are. Let's start back over again 5 years ago. Now, He can speed it up, but He's going to start back. Why? Because He's got a plan for your life. If we delay it, fine. But He'll put you back in school to get there because He loves you that much. And so I just declare over you, you are warriors in here. You are expanding His kingdom. You are eternal people. And it is an exciting life. There's nothing more exciting. Just die to your desires. Don't do one of these Hollywood deaths. I won't mention the movie because it's an R-rated movie. You may judge me. But have you seen these kill 'em, chill 'em, shoot 'em up type movies? They shoot somebody, they sort of half die, or they stop moving, and they sort of, well, they're not quite dead, a bad guy, and then you have to shoot them again, and you have to shoot them like four or five times, and they're falling all over the place, but they won't die. That is a lot of the Christian church. When Jesus sends you a bullet, says, you know, life's just going to be easier if you submit to My will. You don't have to. I give you the freedom of choice. That's what makes you unique. That's one way you're created like Him. Just say, yes, Father. The quicker, the better. And when you get through, you go, this is actually pretty cool. What was wrong with me? The God of the world, like Baal, puts this irrationality in you. And I'm telling you, Christianity is moving forward the last 2,000 years. This last 50 years of craziness in the Western world will end. And we'll return back to some sanity. And that sanity is what lives on forever, which is the eternal truths of God. Amen. Father, I thank you for these people. Just bless them. Bless them this week. Let them hear you better than they've ever heard you before. And show them how they're part of a relay race. They're eternal. Their spirit and soul lives forever. And they're going to get a new body. Amen. Can you say amen? They will not be overweight like me. You'll be able to actually run and not grow weary and walk and not get tired. I'm ready. Sure, yeah.
If any of you would like to go out on the street witnessing, any day, any time you got available, or we'll make a Saturday morning, go out and just see what's in our neighborhood. See what kind of world we're living in. It will build your faith stronger in the Lord when you meet some of these people.
Amen, that's a good one.
You will be thankful that God pulled you out of certain situations and saved your soul, because it's kind of fun out there. And it's so neat when you see somebody and say, look, Lord, I'm a sinner. That's where it's at right there. It just gives me joy to see a teenager pray to the Jesus, or a man 60 or 70 year old finally give his life to Jesus. They're just waiting on somebody to tell them. If y'all want to get together sometime, just give me a call. We'll get out and we'll just go where God sends us. Some days we can hit a honey hole, I call it. Some days God will send me to a spot and nobody won't even hardly take a track. Some days he'll send us to a spot and nobody wants to pray. But then there's those good days. He'll send us out and there'll be 20 people get saved before the day's out.
That's so cool.
But he will use you if you get out there.
Y'all are just dismissed. Sounds like class. Well, you wanted to say something?
No.
Okay. All right. Y'all have an awesome week. And it was so cool to be with you guys, this family today.